The presence of the Lord has been rich tonight. It's an atmosphere like this that you can believe anything is possible. Amen. In His presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What's it going to be like when we drop this robe of flesh and rise to be right there at His side? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me tonight? The Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Get a bulletin. Stay abreast of the things this week. The last full week of February that will culminate with our winter warm-up is designated as a week of prayer and fasting. In preparation to that, last Sunday night I preached on intercessory prayer. Tonight I just want for a few moments to talk about another angle of prayer. It's not my goal to be have an exposition about prayer, a lesson about prayer. I just want to share a short devotional thought about prayer as we look to this that coming week and to prepare our hearts to pray. And so I'm going to read some verses tonight just to launch that thought that I want to leave with us tonight before we leave. Amen. You've been standing a lot tonight, but we're going to stand just a moment for the word. I'm just going to read two verses. Last Sunday night, Andrew was sick, and so Sister Hurst and he were listening to the service over the audio stream, over the internet. And when I came home, they were telling me that, and Andrew said, "And Dad, Mom even had a stand when you read the word." So they're at home. So let's stand tonight for the reading of God's word. Psalm 139, and we're just going to read two verses, the last two verses. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You'll notice that I emphasize the pronoun, that first person, personal pronoun, me. Search me. I want to minister just for a few minutes tonight on me first. Me first. Search me. Father, help us. Thank you for your presence that has been in the house. Now, Lord, in the next few moments, just stir our hearts like never before to spend time in your presence as you transform us by your power. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Sister Brock may not remember this, but anything that involves your kids, you tend to remember. But when Hannah was small, Sister Brock and Sister Vaughn used to watch her as Sister Hurst was up here singing and helping with the services. And when Hannah was about two or close to two, we was in service one night and Sister Brock was holding her. And you know how you do it with the little kids. Sister Brock just put her hand on and said, "Oh God, help Hannah. We bless Hannah." And Hannah took Sister Brock's hand and moved it away and said, "Don't pray for me. It's not me that needs it. It's my neighbor." And she got that because several times that we were gone, some neighborhood kid would come around and pull up our flowers out of the flower beds and do other things. And we thought we know who it was. So to be fair to her, she really meant it. You know, we did have a neighbor that needed prayer. And she was too young to understand, but you know, the fact is, if she could have understood it, she had been more prepared to pray for the little neighbor girl if she had first prayed for herself. How many knows that's true? We're better prepared to pray for others when we have first prayed for ourselves. I began to look through the Psalms written by different psalmists. There was a whole bunch of references, over 400 references to me. But I want to give you just a sampling and a taste of the me that I noticed in the psalmist's prayers. Have mercy on me. Save me. Hear me. Lead me. Be not far from me. Deliver me. answer me. Hide not your face from me. Teach me. Show me. Examine me. Prove me. And in our text, search me. The psalmist recognized something. Lord, I need your attention. I need your help. I need your involvement. Lord, start this thing with me. Amen. You can say, isn't that being selfish? Isn't that myopic? Isn't that being self-obsessed or narcissistic? No, I believe this kind of prayer, search me, help me, save me, is an awareness in my prayer that if it's not right with me, then nothing else in my prayers is going to be right. Even if it's not right with me, nothing else in my prayer is going to be effective. Amen. How many has ridden on an airplane? Amen. You have to sit there and endure that. I may get in trouble. My brother, he's a supervisor, a flight attendant. So I'm trying to put this right, and I can't even remember what you call that little spiel they give at the first for safety and getting off the airplane and everything. But I don't know how many has heard that or noticed that. But in that, they'll say this: in the unlikely event that the cabin loses its pressure, oxygen mass will fall down from above. You heard that? And then they'll say something. The first time you hear it, your mind kind of clicks and says, now, is that right, what they're telling us and instructing us? They'll say, when the oxygen mask comes down, if you're traveling with children, first secure the oxygen mask on your own face and then attend to getting the oxygen mask upon your children. And that doesn't seem quite right. You say, you know, we ought to take care of the kids first. But the point is, if you're the adult and those children are your charge, and you don't get the oxygen mask on your face, you could faint, something could happen to you before you got around and was able to help your children. And so the message is, you put the oxygen mask on yourself first so that you will be in the shape and in the condition to help your children when they need it. And I believe that's what I'm preaching tonight. Last week I preached on intercessory prayer, not coming to pray for your own needs, but in the behalf of others. And we need intercessory prayer. But I believe it's just like the oxygen mask. First, I need to be in the presence of God. First, I need to seek the Lord. First, I need His assistance in my own life. And it's after I have met with God and my need has been met and my condition has been changed in His presence that I am able to pray for others and be effective in my prayers. Hallelujah. I believe that's what the Lord is speaking to us tonight. Amen. Before my prayers can be genuine and effective and sincere, I must first make sure that my heart is in tune with God. I've noticed something disturbing. I've watched it happen at the altars of the church. I've watched it happen at the altars at youth camp. I've watched this so many times. People in the audience, it is evident they have grown cold in the Lord. They've backed away from God. They've taken on the things of the world. They're involved in things that have stolen their love for Christ. If you're a preacher, you don't have to be a preacher, but particularly if you're a preacher, you can tell sometimes as you're preaching and the Holy Spirit is anointing, you can tell that He's reaching for certain different ones. Amen. You can almost feel see the finger of the Holy Ghost pulling at them. You know they needed that message. You know the message was for them. You know that God was speaking to them. And you give an altar call and people begin to come. And the ones you felt the message was for, they come too. But instead of coming to the altar and digging in and seeking God for themselves, the one that you know needs it the most, they'll turn around and they'll find someone to pray for. Now, I believe in praying for other folks, but I'm talking about those that God was trying to reach and help. They come to the altar and they're praying for somebody else. And I'm thinking, don't you understand? Amen. It needs to be about you first. You need to get it right in your own heart. heart. You need to let God help you and change you and transform you, and then pray for somebody else. Hallelujah. I believe it's me first. Search me, oh God. Hallelujah. Try my heart. Amen. I don't think sometimes it's hypocrisy. Amen. I think it's self-diversion. I think it's an understanding. If I pray for someone else, folks will leave me alone. If I pray for someone else, I'll not have to deal with the needs in my own life. You say, how do you know that so well? Well, because I remember the time when I was 17 years old, had grown cold in my heart and my experience. We couldn't have work because we had a rare snowstorm in Oklahoma in March. They closed work, but my church was in revival and we didn't ever close. So I went to church and took one of my unsaved school buddies with me, and Brother Joey Hyatt was preaching, and God got to move and there was conviction in the house, and it came time for the altar call, and I turned to my friend and I was trying to get him to go pray. I knew it was I need to go pray. He needed to, but I knew that I needed to. But instead of focusing on that, I started trying to get him to go pray. He didn't go pray, and suddenly it occurred to me, it's me first. Amen. For I get him right, I need to get me right. And it was that night that I prayed, and I prayed through, and God called me to preach. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, yes, we want to see God work in the lives of others. We want to pray for others. We want to be intercessors, as I preached last Sunday night. But where it starts is when I begin with me and I come to the presence of God and I say, oh God, search me and transform me. Hallelujah. I believe that's the kind of prayer that prepares us to really pray. God, cleanse me. Burn out the chaff and the dross in my life. You say, isn't that making it all about me? Pastor Hurst, didn't you preach a while back? It's not about me. Yes, I did. But the context was different. It's not making it all about me. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, the psalmist recognized something. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. I'll waste my breath praying for my lost loved ones. I'll waste my breath praying for someone in trouble. Amen. If I've got something wrong in my own heart. Now the thing is not to quit praying. This doesn't mean if this is true, stop praying. It means that I get rid of the problem. I get the problem of my own heart taken care of, and then the Lord will hear as I pray for others. It's me first. It's God working me. A pray through me makes me a better husband. A pray through me makes me a better father. A pray through me makes me a better son. Whatever your relationship is, it's when I get me first in the presence of God, it's going to take care of so many other things. Amen. You say, again, me first. Isn't that selfish? Not if it's a prayer, it's not selfish. I want you to notice what the psalmist did. I don't know if you can go back, brother back there in the sound booth, brother Durth. Amen. If you can go back to Psalm 139 and verse 23, he says, search me. But it's not just me. He says, search me, oh God. You see what he's doing? He's coupling himself with God. He's giving God an invitation to be involved in his life. Amen. So that's not a selfish thing. It says, I'm the one that needs it. But the prayer is, the supplication is, God, I want you involved with me. I want you involved in what's going on in me. I want your help. I want to employ you in moving in my life. I'm admitting my need for you, oh God, to be involved with who I am. Hallelujah. Getting God involved makes me what I ought to be. Getting God involved changes me. It makes a different me. Amen. Before I can effectively pray, oh God, convict this one, convict that one, I need to pray, Lord, search me. Lord, try me and know my thoughts. And when I get God involved with me, me is going to change. Hallelujah. I see, when I get God involved in my case is going to change. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not selfish to make it about yourself. If you're asking God to be involved in that process, change me and transform me. Would you come, music, tonight? I begin to think of the many times throughout the Psalms that I read this weekend where they cried out, deliver me, change me, hear me. And I thought, who am I to think that I don't need God as much as they thought they needed God? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to make it about me tonight this way. God, I do want you to search me. I do want you to cleanse me. I do want you to change me. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I've told things many times. That's the way they get remembered. But I forget one summer between years of Bible school where the Lord taught me something important about prayer. So simple. You know, it's those simple things that transform us. I was working 10 hours or more a day. And then at night we'd go to revival meetings, camp meetings, go out preaching, getting very little sleep. But I had made up my mind I was going to try to pray every morning before I went to work. I had to be at work at 7:30. Don't seem like early, but I'm talking about teenagers, you know. So I got up early, and I tried to pray. I want to tell you, it wasn't no barn-burning prayers, I guarantee you that. And I remember one morning I got down. You know, how many knows you learn how to pray? You can pray on cruise control. How many knows that? Automatic pilot. And I was down praying. I was praying something like this. Oh God, I want to see revival. Oh God, I want more of you. Oh God, I'd really like to see you save so and so. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And I heard the Spirit speak. I was just fighting to stay awake. Oh God, I want to see revival. And I heard the Spirit speak to me. Why don't you just be honest? I said, what? Why don't you just pray honest? I said, okay, I'll try that. I said, oh God, if I went by my feelings, I have absolutely no hunger for you right now at all. I feel like you're a million miles away. I really don't care about their being lost right now. The only thing I can think about is crawling back into that bed and going back to sleep. But I want to tell you something. When those words came out of my mouth, God did not rebuke me. He suddenly allowed me to feel one of the richest sense of His presence that I had ever felt. And you know why? Because I was just getting honest. How many knows when you get honest in His presence? We put on bravado for others. You know, the truth of the matter is, you guys don't want to know what all my problems are. You know, we're human. We really don't want to be bored with it all. I'll ask Brother Norvell how he's doing. He said, sit down. This is going to take a while. He also says that when I ask him how his wife's treating him. But I want you to know, we need to put down the facade and the bravado when we come to an altar of prayer. We just need to get real. Get honest. And if the psalmist, the man of God, can say, search me, who am I to think that I don't need it just as badly? Amen. What does the song we sing sometimes say? Let it begin. Where? Let it begin in me. Revival fire is my desire. Let it begin in me. I wonder here in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and pray. Could we make it me first tonight? I know there's some serious needs. We'll get to those. But could we make it me first tonight? Lord, I found myself praying this evening. Lord, I want to empty myself of myself that I might be filled with you. Lord, I want to empty myself of myself that I might be filled with you. Amen. Some of us old timers like Brother Steve, we'd know this song. I had to look for it. We used to sing this at Neo Show. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road. Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Here it is. Let him have his way with thee. And the chorus said, his power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Over and over that song says, let him have his way with thee. Hallelujah. Let's stand across the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to open these altars, and I wonder how many will join the psalmist tonight. We're on the brink of revival, but it's going to be me first. Search me, cleanse me. You know, if God can get a hold of the saint, he can get a hold of the sinner then. If God can revive the church, he can reach the backslider. How many believes that? I wonder how many's going to come and join the psalmist tonight and say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. Amen. Would you come? If you're here tonight and you need any other help, whether it's salvation, healing, you come. We'll pray with you tonight. Amen. Would you come and pray? Hallelujah.